I invite you to take hold of your copy of God's Word and turn with me, as you have since the month of May, to the second book in the Bible, that is the book of Exodus. And we've worked our way up to those Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, and we're at the fifth commandment found in verse 12, Exodus 20 and verse 12. In an attempt to trick Jesus, a teacher of the law approached our master and asked, "Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" He knew full well that there weren't not just these Ten Commandments, but there were literally hundreds of laws in the Old Testament. And Jesus looked at that teacher of the law and said, "The greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." All the prophets and all the laws hang on this commandment. That teacher of the law, knowing his field of expertise, knew that Jesus had just summed up these Ten Commandments that we have been studying in one law. We've worked our way through those first four commandments, and as you look at them, in essence, if you boil them down to what they're really saying, they're saying, love God. Love Him with all your heart. Love Him with all your soul. Love Him with all your mind. When we look at that first commandment, it says, you'll have no other God before me. That's just saying, love God. When we look at that second commandment, it says, you won't worship any idol above me. That's just saying, love God. When you look at that third commandment and it says, don't misuse my name, don't take my name in vain, that in essence is just saying, love God. When we look at that fourth commandment, which we studied last week, to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, in essence what that is saying is, God, I honor you, I revere you, I love you on your special day, and I will keep it holy. And then we come to this fifth commandment for today. It is a transitional commandment. It could be put in either tablet. You know, we visualize the Ten Commandments in two tablets. The first tablet dealing with our relationship with God, Commandments 1 through 4. And then the second tablet dealing with our relationship with our fellow man, our neighbor. Commandments really 5 through 10. But Commandment 5 really fits on either tablet, because our ultimate parent, our ultimate father, is our heavenly Father, the Lord God. And to honor Him is to honor our earthly parents, and the vice versa is true also. To honor our earthly parents is to honor, to love, and respect our heavenly Father. And I believe there's no other commandment that we have studied up to this point that is so broken than this one. We in this country have forgotten God's moral absolutes. We have forgotten His basic expectations of us. And that's why our country is in the mess that it's in. That's why our churches and our individual family units are in the shape that they're in, because we have forgotten God and we have forgotten His basic commands, especially this fifth commandment. It is broken over and over and over again as we dishonor our heavenly Father and as we dishonor our earthly parents. Now, I want to make an admission from the very outset here. There are no perfect parents. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have inconsistencies. All of us have faults and foibles. All of us have sinned. That's what the Bible says in Romans 3:23. It says that all, not some, not most, not many, but all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. The only perfect parent is God Himself. But we must honor the position of parenthood. Now, I will make an acknowledgement here at the outset. There are many parents who are not worthy of honor. There are some parents who are manipulative. There are some parents who are abusive. There are some parents who are neglectful. And I'm not saying that you just need to put on a happy face and ignore the pain and pretend everything's great. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is you should honor the position of parenthood. When you go into a court of law and you stand before the judge, how do you address him or her? You say, "Your Honor." And when you say "Your Honor" to the judge, you're not making a value judgment about their character. You don't know them personally. They might be a jerk for all you know, but you're honoring the position when you say "Your Honor." And that's what we're called to do in this fifth commandment, is to honor the position and the authority of parenthood. There are three sources of authority in our life. You might want to take some notes here. Three sources of authority: God, the home, and government. Those are the three sources of authority in our life. And the way that we learn to have respect for God and the way we learn to have respect for our government begins at home, by honoring our parents. These three sources of authority really are the basis for an honorable society. But our society and our culture breaks down when we don't have homes that honor the position of parenthood. It is a critical lesson that every child must learn. Young people, hear your pastor today. Your success in school, your success in your career, and your success in your relationships go back to this fifth commandment and learning how to honor the authority of the parents that God gave you. You show me a child that grows up saying, "No one's going to tell me what to do," and that child's going to have a hard time keeping a job in life. I've said this over and over again to our single adults. Before you pop the question or before you say, "I do," make sure you observe how your boyfriend and your girlfriend treats their own parents, because that's the way they'll treat you. I know that seems like a quantum leap in logic for so many of you. What in the world does that have to do with the person that I want to marry, the way that they treat their parents? You ask anyone here who's been married for a while, and they'll tell you, "Yes, my spouse treats me the way they treated their parents." And if that boyfriend or girlfriend disrespects their parents, guess what? If you marry them, they're going to disrespect you. If that boyfriend or girlfriend does not honor his or her parents, guess what? They're not going to honor you either. And so this is a very foundational commandment. It determines our success at school. It determines our success on the job. It determines our success in all of our relationships. And I've given you a listening guide there in your worship pages, and I've established three points about this fifth commandment. The first one's a quick one. I want us to see four reasons for the commandment. What are the reasons that God gave me for being obedient to this commandment? Reason letter A: it will give you success in the world. Do you have a scripture for that, preacher? Yeah, I do. You have your Bible open there. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Give me a loud, hearty amen. Amen. Then you read silently as I read aloud in this fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This is the second commandment out of these Ten Commandments that has an expectation that is followed by a promise. And what God is saying here to us is, if you fulfill this commandment by honoring your father and your mother, I've got a promise for you. You're going to be blessed in life. You're going to have success in life. But there is a second reason for this commandment, and you see it there in your listening guide. It is for stability in your emotions. The scripture for that is the fifth book in the Bible. Many people call it the fifth book of Moses. God inspired Moses to write these first five books, and that fifth book is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5 and verse 16, which says that we should, in essence, honor our father and mother for this reason, that it may be well with you. If you want to be emotionally stable, according to the book of Deuteronomy, then you need to honor your father and mother. And if you are unsettled emotionally today, it might be for many reasons. And maybe one of those reasons is you're not honoring the parents that God has blessed you with. What's the third reason for this commandment? It is the satisfaction of God. God wants us to obey this commandment. I'll give you a scripture for this in the New Testament. Colossians 3 and verse 20 says, and I quote, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now, if it's well-pleasing to the Lord for you to honor your parents, if this brings satisfaction to the heart of God, if this is pleasing to the heart of God, doing the opposite dissatisfies God. It displeases God. There is a fourth reason for this commandment, and it is the standard by which to live. Again, a New Testament verse, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul speaks about family relationships, and there he speaks to the children saying, and I quote, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It's just right. It's the standard by which we live. But so many are living beneath the standard of God's expectation in our life. Which brings me to my second point there in your listening guide. Not only the reasons for this commandment, but the seasons for this commandment. It has been wisely said that our life is made up of many different seasons. Wasn't it delightful to wake up this morning and see temperatures in the 50s? It is a signal that there is a changing of seasons on the horizon. And just as we experience four seasons in the calendar year, there are four seasons in an individual's life. There is the springtime of life, and this is childhood, a wonderful time of hope and prospects as things are budding and blooming and springing to life. That is followed by the youth season of life, which is the summertime of life. How we enjoy the summer and the warmer weather, and how growth continues and maturity comes to the plants and to all the herbs and to all the bushes, into the trees, as we see things greening up. And when we're in those youthful years, it is a time of tremendous prospects, a time of tremendous opportunity for maturity, a time of tremendous growth. That is followed by the fall season of life, which is adulthood. I continued to grow physically until I was a sophomore in college, and then I stopped growing at 6'6", and everything's been downhill since then. I mean, the leaves have started falling, and you know, it's just, I was in the hospital Friday, and there was a fella sitting behind me. And he wasn't even talking to him, but he just blurted out. He said, "Has anyone ever told you you look like our vice president?" And that was about, it wasn't a compliment, because I'm sure Mr. Biden is a wonderful man. I know he loves his family, but I'm not nearly his age. That's what I meant by that. I mean, the leaves have started falling. I'm not a senior citizen yet. I'm fixing to turn 52. So, but he is actually the third person that has told me that since Mr. Biden has been elected vice president. So, yes, many of us are in the fall season of life. Things are slowing down a little bit. Things are on the downhill side, and that's followed by the winter season of life. in that winter season of life is the senior adult years. And things start dying. Things start slowing down. And many of us are in that senior adult season of life. And my point to you here is, no matter what season of life you're in, a child, a youth, a young person, a median adult, a senior adult, no matter what season of life you're in, this commandment, this fifth commandment, applies to you. It applies to you, my friend. Even if you're 80 years old, you're supposed to honor your father and mother. Even if they're in heaven, they're no longer on the scene, you're supposed to honor them. And I want to show you how. I want to make this real practical for you there in your listening guide. Look first of all at that springtime of life, that season of life when you're a child. There are two things you ought to do, two assignments you have towards your parents as a child, and that is to obey and respect them. As long as you live under your parents' roof, you are to obey them. That includes you even if you're in the boomerang generation, 22 without a clue and still living at home. As long as you're under your parents' roof, you are to obey them and you are to respect them. There are two things that every child needs to learn. Number one, disobedience brings pain. And a lot of you parents have not taught your children this. You've tried to shield them from the consequences of disobedience. Now, I'm afraid we have a lot of churches today where preachers try to shield people from the consequences of sin. It seems like we have so many preachers today that are trying to tickle the ears of their listeners. And we have people coming to church today that don't want the preacher to educate them about their sin. They want the preacher to medicate them about their sin. They want him to come in and make them feel better about their areas of failure. Just give me something to mask the pain. Just like when you go to the doctor. You don't want the doctor to educate you. You don't want him to tell you what you ought to be eating and ought not to be eating. You don't want to hear him say you ought to be walking, you ought to be exercising. You don't want to hear him give you a list of do's and don'ts. You don't want him to educate you. You say, "Doc, just give me a prescription. Something that will make me feel better." And that's the generation we live in today. We have people coming to church houses today saying, "Preacher, don't educate me about the consequences of sin. Just medicate me. Just make me feel better." Well, it's not just in the church house. It's in the home. And parents, you need to teach your children that there are consequences for sin. And disobedience brings pain. But there's a second lesson you need to teach your child. You also need to teach them that obedience brings freedom. A lot of people come to these Ten Commandments and they think God's some kind of cosmic killjoy. They think God doesn't want you to have any happiness in life. He doesn't want you to experience any fulfillment or meaning or joy in life. The opposite is true. The only reason God gave us these Ten Commandments was so that we could have true liberation. So that we can have true freedom. So that we can have true joy in our lives. So this is what a child needs to do. A child needs to learn that disobedience brings pain and obedience brings freedom. And that child in the spring season of life must do these two things. Obey and respect. Well, what about the next season of life? The young person. The young person, just to make it practical for you, young people, young adults, you need to do these two things. You need to accept and appreciate your parents. This is part of honoring them. Acceptance has three ramifications. You might want to jot these down. First of all, you need to realize that God used your parents to bring you into this world. He did. He used your parents to give you something that no one else could give you, and that is life. And that is deserving of honor. That is deserving of appreciation. That is deserving of respect and acceptance. But acceptance also has a second ramification. You need to listen to what your parents say. Don't tune them out. Let me give you a scripture on this out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verse 22. It says, "Listen to your father who gave you your life, and do not despise your mother." Acceptance also includes, number three, forgiveness. I want to state a fact of life here is that we often hurt the people that we love the most. We often hurt the people who are closest to us, either intentionally or unintentionally. And if you're in a family today, I'm going to make you a bona fide guarantee that you can take to the bank. The people in your family will hurt you, either intentionally or unintentionally. And that gives you the opportunity as a Christ follower to forgive them. That is all parts of acceptance. But as a young person, to honor my parent is not only acceptance, but it's also to appreciate them. Two notes for you here on what it means for me as a young person to appreciate my parents. Number one, appreciate their effort. Parenting is difficult. Parenting is extremely difficult. And you probably are responsible for some of the gray hairs on your parents' head. So learn to appreciate them because their effort is very difficult. But there is a second thing. Appreciate them because of their sacrifice. You know, it's a shame today. Young people don't know the value of a dollar. And so what I'm fixing to say just won't mean anything to a lot of you young people, but it will to adults. Do you know what it costs to raise the average child from infancy to adulthood? Do you know what it costs that parent? $250,000. $250 million to raise the average child from infancy to adulthood. That's all the lessons, that's all the doctor's appointments, that's all the dentist's appointments, that's all the trips, that's all the traveling, that's all of the schools, that's all of the things that they build into your life. $250,000. Parenting is expensive. And young person, we need to appreciate our parents, not only for the fact that parenting is difficult, but parenting is extremely expensive. But it not only taxes your pocketbook. You know, people say a father is a man who carries pictures where he used to carry money. But it's not just taxing to your pocketbook. It is taxing to your emotions. Young people, you'd be really surprised how many times your parents have laid awake at night praying for you. You'd be surprised how many tears they have shed on your behalf. You'd be surprised how many times they have spent on their knees talking to the Lord about you. Oh, you need to appreciate them because parenting is expensive. But let's move on to the next season of life. That season of life when we are an adult. What am I to do tangibly to honor my parents when I am an adult? You see there in your notes, it is to affirm and to care for them. For many parents, the older they get, the less respect they get. Just think about this with me. When you're 4 years old, success is not piddling in your pants. Then you move to when you're 12 years old, and success when you're 12 years old is to have friends. And then you move to when you're 17 years old, and success in life is to have a driver's license. Then when you're 35 years old, success in life is to have money. Now watch how this reverses. When you're 50 years old, success in life is to have money. When you're 70 years old, success in life is to have a driver's license. When you're 75 years old, success in life is just to have friends. And when you're 80 years old, success is not piddling in your pants. The older you get, the less respect you get. And I want to speak to you adults today. You have a responsibility to honor your parents, and you do that by affirming them and caring for them. Your senior adult parents live lonely lives, and they need to hear a word of appreciation for you. When is the last time you as an adult child told your parents, I appreciate you. Thank you for what you did for me. You need to stay in touch with them. You need to write them. And I'm not talking about texting and emailing. I'm talking about getting out pen and paper. Remember when we used to do that? And write your parents. Send them a card. It's too easy to send a text. It's too easy to send an email. You take the time to go buy a card in the store and a stamp and write a note in your own hand saying, I appreciate what you did for me. Don't wait for Father's Day. Don't wait for Mother's Day. Don't wait for Grandparents' Day. Don't wait for their birthday. Be a good assignment for you this week to show appreciation to them. Don't just write them, but call them. And visit them. Take time in your calendar to go and to be with your parents. That is part of honoring them. And also part of honoring them as an adult child is to care for them. With the changing of the seasons of life, many times the roles reverse. And it's surprising, it's shocking to so many of us that these parents who cared for me will reach a point in my life when I need to care for them. Just like they nurtured me, just like they watched out for my needs, just like they looked at every little need I had in my life. That's what we will one day need to do. Some of you have already done it, to show our parents that we honor and respect them. How about as a senior adult? In your notes there, I put remember in reverse. I got to thinking about this. I think I would change that if I had a chance to rewrite this sermon. Remember and revere, I mean, is good. But this is the way I would change this. To treasure and to tell. As a senior adult, your parents have already gone on to their heavenly reward. And this is your assignment. You are to treasure their memory. And you're supposed to tell those children and those grandchildren about what your parents and your grandparents did. I tell you, the age of technology has robbed us of the art of storytelling. There are so many grandparents and great-grandparents that would love to take that grandchild, that would love to take that child and tell them about the sacrifices of previous generations, but we've got our ears plugged up with earphones and our hands busy with electronic devices, and we don't take the time to listen. I'm so grateful that I took the time to listen to my grandfather Patterson, who told me about my great-great-grandmother, who was a Cherokee Indian. And I can repeat that story to my own boys and say, you're 1/32nd Cherokee Indian. I wouldn't have known that because that's not written down anywhere. And now that I've turned into my 50s, I'm more interested in genealogy, and I've gone to the National Archives over in Morrow, Georgia, to try to find written down verification of this. But those years when the Cherokees had the Trail of Tears, not very good records were kept, and all I have is the treasured story that my granddad told me. I'll never forget the day that my grandmother Patterson, after I'd graduated from high school and was going on to further education, came and brought to me a glass. It was a little glass, like a fruit glass, but it wasn't a fruit glass. It was dark. It was dull. It looked like it really needed to be washed. And she said, Jimmy Dale, this is your great grandmother's snuff glass, and I want to pass it on to you. And I thought, well, what about Pamela Jo? Do you think she might like to have the snuff glass? But I'm so proud of that snuff glass. Now, you go to my office, I have a whole wall of artifacts. And there, in a focal point of all my artifacts, is my grandmother's snuff glass. Because it's special to me. It reminds me of where I came from. It reminds me that I was the first male in all my family tree that ever got a college education. And it makes me grateful for the sacrifices of those that went on before me. Senior adult, you honor your parents by remembering and revering them, but also by treasuring the stories and telling the stories. You might have to take the earphones out of that precious little sweetheart's ears and take the electronic device out of their hands. so that they can appreciate. You want to know why Ancestry.com is so popular now? It's on all the TV shows, advertisements, because we have forgotten the art of storytelling. And now we want to pay somebody to tell us what we already ought to know from listening to our own senior adult parents. Friend, I don't care what season of life you're in. You're supposed to honor your parents. Well, I've given you two reasons here. I have four reasons, actually. I've also given you four seasons for this commandment. But I need to close with a haunting point, and that's the treason against this commandment. It is a treasonable act to try to overthrow parental authority, to disobey your parents, to disrespect and to dishonor your parents, according to the Word of God, is a treasonable act punishable by death. You don't take my word for it? Take a right-hand turn in your Bible. You're in chapter 20. Look in chapter 21. Two verses I want to show you there. Verse 15. Exodus 21, verse 15. Oh, those pages turning are music to any Bible preacher's ears. You're not taking my word for it. You want to see what God's word has to say. Exodus 21, verse 15. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 17. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. I'm thankful for a disciplinary mother who would quote the scripture out of Proverbs 29, verse 15, saying that the rod and reproof gives wisdom, and a child left to himself will bring shame to his mother. She would quote that scripture to me as she would pull out the belt and make me bend over the bed. And she would say to Pamela, Joe, and me, you're the least whipped kids in Brownwood, Texas. I would have never believed it in a million years. But she knew there are serious consequences for dishonoring your parents. My friend, our ultimate parent is our Heavenly Father. And when we dishonor Him, when we try to dethrone Him, when we try to overthrow Him by not having respect for our Heavenly Father's authority, the consequence of that treasonable act is spiritual death. The book of Ezekiel puts it this way, "The soul that sins will surely die." Friend, your sins will find you out. And if you dishonor your earthly parents, and if you dishonor your heavenly parent, your heavenly father, it's deserving of death, spiritual death. It's real quiet on this point, doesn't it? Because we know that we're lawbreakers. I've admitted to you in this series we call The Perfect 10 that I'm a perfect zero. I've broken every one of these laws many times. I am hopeless in trying to keep this law perfectly. I am a lawbreaker. And that's why God gave us Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the end of the law. The Bible says that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. And that's why He came to this world to suffer and bleed and die on the cross of Calvary, to take my sin debt upon Himself. He bore my sins in His body on the cross. And every law I ever broke, He took upon Himself with its penalty. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And I don't have to work my way into heaven. All I do is receive His free offer of grace. Won't you do that today? Won't you trust Him today as your Savior and your Lord? You know, God is speaking to many of our hearts right now. He's speaking to hearts right now about decisions that need to be made. No more important decision than giving your heart to Christ. And to disobey him is a treasonable act. And if you continue in your treasonable acts, one day the consequence of your sin will be spiritual death. God is speaking to some of us about other things today. Your Heavenly Father is directing you in specific actions today. And to turn your back on Him and say no is a treasonable act. To try to overthrow His authority has serious consequences. God is speaking to hearts. And it's your choice today. What will you do with what God is asking you to do today? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness to us. Because it's your goodness that leads us to repentance. And we know that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're nothing but a bunch of lawbreakers. And we're so thankful for your dear Son who suffered and bled and died so that we could have the forgiveness of sins. And Father, I pray for that soul today that needs a Savior. I pray that they would be obedient to you. I pray for those souls that you're giving sovereign direction to in this service about decisions they need to make. I pray that they would humble themselves and be obedient in this service. And Father, as you do all these things in our midst, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. For it's in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen.